If you fly out of a non-towered field, I want you to think about the last time you scanned for a helicopter. Not an airplane, a helicopter. Something that can stop in midair and just sit there, right in your path, doing nothing your eyes are trained to expect. I'm Tower, and this is ATIS, here on Radio Hangar. And today, we're going to talk about a collision in Pennsylvania that took a pilot's life. We're going to talk about it the way we should talk about every accident in this community. Not to point fingers, not to speculate about a man who can't tell his side, but to pull out the lessons that keep the rest of us alive. Here's what you need to know. According to reporting from AeroTime, a pilot flying a Cessna 150 was killed when his airplane collided with a Pennsylvania State Police helicopter that was hovering. The helicopter was holding a position in the air. The Cessna came together with it. The Cessna pilot did not survive. That's the headline, and the headline doesn't tell the whole story. It never does. So, let's slow down and work through what a collision like this actually teaches us, because there is a lot packed into those two aircraft meeting in the same piece of sky. Before we go further, today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. Now, let's get into the flying. Start with the airplane. A Cessna 150 is one of the most common trainers ever built. Two seats, a small four-cylinder engine, honest handling. If you learned to fly in the last 60 years, there's a real chance you sat in one, or in its slightly bigger sibling, the 152. It is a slow airplane, it is a simple airplane, and it puts the pilot's eyes right up front behind a wide windscreen. Good visibility forward, good visibility to the sides. But here's the thing about any high-wing Cessna. That wing sits above your head, and it blocks the sky above and to the side when you bank. When you turn, the wing on the inside of the turn rises and sweeps across exactly the piece of sky you're turning into. Low-wing pilots have the opposite problem. Their wing hides what's below. Every airframe has a blind spot. The 150's blind spot lives up and out to the side, and it opens up right when you roll into a turn. Hold that thought. Now, the other aircraft. A police helicopter hovering. A helicopter in a hover is one of the hardest targets in all of aviation to see and to predict. Think about how we're taught to spot traffic. We look for movement against the background. We look for a shape that grows. Our whole scanning technique, the one your instructor drilled into you, is built around the idea that a threat is either moving across your windscreen or growing larger in one spot. A converging airplane sits still in your window and gets bigger. That's the classic collision geometry, and we train our eyes for it. A hovering helicopter breaks that model. It isn't tracking across the sky. It isn't flying a pattern you can anticipate. It's just there, parked in three dimensions, often low, often over a specific point on the ground, because that's the whole reason it's there. Police and medical helicopters hover to do a job. They're watching a scene. They're supporting officers on the ground. They're orbiting or holding over one address. Their flight path isn't a path at all. It's a point. And a point is deceptively hard to see against a cluttered background. Trees, rooftops, a highway, a hovering helicopter can blend right in. There's no relative motion to catch your eye. If it's sitting still in your windscreen and not growing fast, your brain can file it away as part of the scenery until it's too late. This affects you if you ever fly near law enforcement or air ambulance operations. And that's most of us, whether we realize it or not. So let me give you the practical piece. What do you actually do with this? First, assume helicopters are where you are not expecting them. Fixed-wing pilots build a mental model of traffic that's all about runways, patterns, and airways. Helicopters don't live in that model. They operate low, they operate off airport, they hover over accident scenes and hospitals and crime scenes and pipelines and traffic jams. If you see flashing lights on the ground or a cluster of emergency vehicles or a stadium or any kind of incident, put your head on a swivel and assume there could be a helicopter working that scene at low altitude. Where there's a reason to hover, there may be something hovering. Second, monitor the radio and use it. A lot of these operations are talking. Police and medical aircraft frequently coordinate on common frequencies, and many will announce their position and their intentions if you're listening on the right one. At a non-towered field, that's the common traffic advisory frequency, the CTAF, en route. That might be a local approach or a flight following frequency. Talking to air traffic control and getting flight following is one of the best tools you have here. A controller watching a scope can see that helicopter as a target and call it out to you long before your eyes ever will. Traffic advisories are free. Use them. Third, understand the limits of your traffic technology. A lot of us fly with ADS-B now, the Automatic Dependent Surveillance Broadcast System, and it has genuinely made the skies safer. When it works, it puts nearby traffic right on your screen with altitude and a trend. But it is not a guarantee. Not every aircraft is transmitting a signal your system can use. Some operate with equipment that doesn't paint on your display the way you'd expect. Some law enforcement and military aircraft don't broadcast their position the way a typical civilian airplane does, for reasons that have nothing to do with you. So, if your traffic screen is quiet, that is not permission to stop looking outside. The screen is a supplement to your eyes. It is not a replacement for them. Let me say that one more time because it matters. A quiet traffic display does not mean empty sky. Fourth, fly a disciplined scan and clear before every turn. This is the oldest advice in the book, and it's on the list because it works. Before you roll into a turn, look into the turn first. Lift that high wing for a second, or ease the nose and check the space you're about to fly into. The 150's blind spot, remember, opens up in the turn. So does every high wing airplane's. The half second it takes to clear a turn is the cheapest insurance you will ever buy. Now, I want to talk about the emotional side of this, because we're pilots and we tend to armor up and go straight to the checklist. But a man died. He was flying a little two-seat airplane on what was probably an ordinary day. Somebody is grieving him tonight. When we dig into accidents like this, we are not judging him. None of us has the full picture right now, and the people whose job it is to build that picture haven't finished. The National Transportation Safety Board, the NTSB, and the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, will investigate. They'll look at the airplane, the helicopter, the flight paths, the altitudes, the frequencies, the light conditions, the maintenance, all of it. It will take months when they publish their findings. That's the report worth reading, because that's the one built on evidence rather than guesswork. Everything I'm giving you today is the general airmanship that applies to all of us, drawn from how these two aircraft types behave and how mid-air collisions tend to happen. It is not a verdict on this specific flight. I want to be clear about that. When I speculate, I'll flag it as speculation. Right now, I'm not speculating. I'm teaching the see and avoid lessons that this tragedy reminds us to review. And here's the hard truth underneath all of it. See and avoid is the law, and see and avoid is also flawed. Federal aviation regulation says that when weather permits, regardless of whether you're operating under instrument or visual flight rules, each person operating an aircraft must maintain vigilance so as to see and avoid other aircraft. That's the rule. Your eyes are the last line of defense. But your eyes have limits, and honest pilots admit that. The human eye needs contrast and motion to detect a threat. A stationary object with no relative movement, low against a busy background, in the wrong light, is exactly the kind of target the eye is worst at catching. That's not a personal failing. That's human physiology. The whole reason we layer on radio calls, flight following, ADS-B, and discipline scanning is that no single defense is enough. You stack them. You build redundancy into how you look for traffic the same way you build it into your fuel planning. So let me connect this to the bigger picture for a second, because this is a news show, and this collision doesn't sit in isolation. Mid-air collisions are rare. They are statistically a small slice of the accident record, but they are almost always catastrophic, and they cluster in predictable places, near airports, in the traffic pattern, at low altitude, in good weather on nice days when everybody's out flying. The very conditions that make you relax are the conditions where the risk concentrates. Clear skies and light winds put more traffic in the air and lull us into looking at our screens instead of out the window. Low-altitude operations are where fixed-wing and rotary-wing worlds overlap the most. Helicopters spend their working lives down low, airplanes are down low on departure and arrival. That shared airspace, close to the ground near the airport over a scene, is where the two communities are most likely to meet. And they don't always fly by the same rules of thumb. A helicopter pilot might be holding a hover over a fixed point with all attention focused down on the ground mission. A fixed-wing pilot might be heads down reconfiguring after takeoff or setting up for a landing. Two professionals both doing their jobs, both with a slice of their attention committed elsewhere. That's the setup that this accident should make every one of us think hard about. So, what should you take with you when you shut the engine down tonight? Assume the sky is fuller than your instruments show. Talk on the radio and listen even harder than you talk. Get flight following when you can, because a controller's scope sees what your eyes can't. Trust your traffic display, but never surrender your scan to it. And clear every single turn, because that high wing is hiding the very sky you're about to fly into. And when you pass an incident on the ground, lights flashing, vehicles gathered, remember, there may be a helicopter working that scene, sitting still in the air where your eyes least expect to find it. That's the discipline that keeps two aircraft from ever occupying the same point in space. My thanks to AeroTime for the reporting on this accident, and to the NTSB and FAA, whose eventual findings will tell us far more than we know today. You can find more of what we cover at RadioHangar.com. Fly like the sky is crowded, because sometimes it is. And keep your eyes outside. I'm Tower. Take care of each other up there.